I looked through the two recaps, and it's basically two Week 12 previews. So I figured that's pretty much what we are going to discuss. I'm just going to actually bring it up in front of me so I know what I'm talking about. At least try to give the impression that I know what I'm talking about. So first of all, if we look through, I'm only looking through the September recap because everything that was in the August one that we missed when we were on vacation basically is covered by this one as well. So we make it pretty easy for ourselves because I'm lazy. So just going through what core state and world origin rebasing is, very simple, very quickly. Core state is a new system that's been in, it's one of the reasons why V12 has taken so long. Basically, in a very easy way manner, it's us being able to turn off information we don't need for players. For example, right now, if a soldier is in the opposite map of Kohat and he switches weapon, every single client gets that information, even though soldiers do not render after 1,000 meters. So that is obviously completely irrelevant and only and it only basically removes frames both from the server and also from the client. Core state, in simple terms, allows the smart people, aka programmers, to turn on and off exactly what information they want sent to clients and servers, and thus easing up the CPU problem, which is decent in client, but servers is obviously an issue. That's why we don't have 100 players yet. And world origin rebasing is something I don't know what it means, but I do know that it solves the scope jitter. If you haven't noticed it, basically the further away you are from map origin, which is if you're dead and you pop into admin cam, you're going to spawn the cam in world origin. The further away you are from that, the more your scope will jitter. I'm sure most of you have seen it. Basically, it will move even though it shouldn't, and it'll be basically if you move it left and right, it will feel like it snaps to grids rather than being smooth. These two things, that will be solved in V12 finally, after a couple of years, thanks to World Origin rebasing. Those are the big things. If we don't have any questions on that, we'll just kind of move on to the more interesting things. I take silence as no questions. Excellent.
Actually,
Shoot.
I sort of one question about that. It should lower performance costs on the server a lot, but I assume it'll also lower performance costs on client a little bit on the game thread.
Yeah, absolutely. It will. But correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, most people are probably GPU limited. I don't think our game thread is super high. I actually don't know. I think GPU is our biggest issue. But yes, it will definitely improve CPUs across the board on both server and client. Yeah, sorry. I'll just go ahead and go over the number system. Basically, Jimmy, every time we go to a new topic, to prevent people from talking over each other and making sure everyone gets their voice heard, we have a simple system. So when someone says something, for example, I say that Bradley suck, you can either write a one, which means that you can select a new topic. Like if we're the topic is suppression, and I say Bradley suck, which obviously doesn't matter. But anyway, you can either write a two, which means you want to counter the thing I just said or respond to it in any sort of way. And if you want the number one, you just want to make a new point under the current topic. Does that make it clear?
Yeah, appreciate it.
Cool. Don't know what you want, Steve, but go ahead.
It's just an example.
Oh, yeah. So you just write a simple one and two, and once you've spoken, I will delete your numbers. Really easy. Yes, Tilly, what's up?
That was a
Oh,
stupid example.
example. I hate all of you. Moving on. For those of you that had time, you got to play V12 for a little bit. I know that servers sucked, and there were probably a bunch of other issues. But once we lowered it to 64 players, it was decently playable and less bugs than I would expect it. So most of you, hopefully, do know it was quite short, but most of you have gotten at least a little test of what we're going to talk here. So it's just not in theory; it's actually a little bit of hands-on. Starting out with the new suppression system that got into V12, which introduces aim twitching when you're getting suppressed and heavily, and also a little bit stronger of the visual feedback. It's still darkening and kind of going like tunnel vision like it was before. That had just been increased a little bit. I saw a couple of posts here and there that people didn't notice it a lot or whatever, and to that there should be added that there is no friendly suppression. So friendly bullets will not suppress you, which is intentional, because we saw in early playtests that when 3-4 of your squad mates are sitting behind you and you're trying to hit stuff, you go twitchy all over the place because they're firing above you. And it just sort of made it very hard to play. So that was removed purely intentional. But there was a bug in the playtest where I think suppression basically did not do anything at 50 meters. So within 50 meters, people would not get suppressed. That is a bug, even by enemies. But apart from that, it was working as intended, or above 50 meters, and it scales. So small arms is not very big, and generally one soldier shooting at another one should not affect it. It's more when you get volumes of fire fired on you. And then LMG or machine guns, LMGs and GPMGs, does a little bit more. And then it scales up to being more and more dangerous, depending on what is shooting at you. So yeah. We'll start with you, Oni. Go ahead.
Concerning that suppression, does that, or are you affected by bullets that whiz over or past you within a certain radius? If so, what is that radius? And are bullet impacts also factored in? Because if you're sitting behind, let's say, a small wall on Kohat or on Korra, and a machine gun is pounding the wall that you're behind, and the bullets are impacting like a foot away from you, that should logically still have somewhat of a suppressive effect. So is that factored in, the bullet impact, if it hits the ground right next to you or something? Or is it purely for flybys? And what's the radius?
Every bullet that comes within 10 meters of the soldier, no matter how it comes in. Impact, flyby, I don't think bullets can do anything else than that. But yeah, any bullet within 10 meters will add to your suppressive effect. If it's just one or a couple of one, they won't do much. You'll see a little bit of darkness on the side, but not much. The more it comes, then yes. And yeah, at the current state, the system ignores whatever you're behind. So you can be behind a 7-meter thick wall and you'll still be suppressed, which obviously is something up for debate. But the system is not smart enough to make a difference of that at the moment. So yes, you will still get suppressed by behind the wall.
Is that radius just 10 meters then, or is it 10 meters and then 5 meters you get more suppression, or is it all 10 meters same effect?
It is all 10 meters same effect.
Copy.
Yeah, Blitz.
I don't know if I've pressed the right number there, but and I know we've discussed it in the past, but is HE also getting a pass on suppression?
HE should suppress you, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I know it's been discussed in the past, so I just wondered if there was an update on it.
Yeah, as far as I know, HE should have the same suppression effect. You're talking HE from vehicles, yeah?
Yeah, or GLs, whatever, yeah.
Okay. G explosions per se, do they camera shake and stuff instead of the regular suppression, which I believe is intended. So no, they don't cause suppression effect in that sense, no. The HE from a vehicle does it, because that's an actual bullet or ballistic, but frag rounds or VL or whatever does not do it, no. Yeah, Oni?
About that, will that at some point be added so that the explosive damage radius of HE also is factored into the suppression dynamics, so that if you're standing right next to the damage radius for an explosion, that you still get some suppression to kind of simulate shrapnel, or is that not being added?
That's a question for you, Fuss.
Yeah, so I mean, regarding the suppression with the vehicles and all those things, there is some different values for the various calibers. Still kind of needs to be tested in a full player server setting. But yeah, certainly we're looking at different ways to make these. We found that the camera shake is quite significant. Like, for while the event is going around, it's going to be hard to hit anything while it's going on. But yeah, if we find that it's if it's not enough, yeah, we'll look into additional things that could happen for explosion events. But yeah, we'll see how it goes in the testing. But certainly, we don't want people to be getting right next to an explosion and just not be affected by it at all.
Copy.
So if anyone doesn't have anything else on suppression, we will move on. As Fuzz said, V12 has seen quite limited action since the first playtests are always quite shitty because people are not used to it. They don't know what's going on, or they're testing new shit, and there's a lot of like, oh, hey, Militia has a foul now, cool, and then we'll be spraying for 3 minutes. So all of these things usually takes a while until you get accurate numbers on them, suppression being no difference there. Moving on, we have, oh, shit, yeah, what up, Steez?
I just wanted to ask, with the bug where it didn't trigger within 50 meters, are you guys open to keeping that but lowering it? I mean, obviously it needs to be tested, but I think that there could be some merit for, like, say within 10 meters, you don't get it just so that CQB fights don't end up being a little bit janky.
I think that's already in. I think it's 25
meters. 25 meters, I think it is.
Cool. Yeah. So perfect. It starts as 25. The problem is it wasn't working between 25 and 50.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Let's see. Moving on. Our next topic is the glorious, and I say that purely because I had no idea, nothing to do with it, persistent ammo. I think most of you know what it is, but just to recap, basically it's the thing that if you die with 4 mags and 1 bandage, you spawn with 4 mags and 1 bandage. Actually, I think bandages might get refreshed on spawn, but you spawn with the same ammo as you died with, except when spawning in main base. This is to prevent be TKing each other to get new rockets or making sure logistics matters more and opening up other ways on breaking super fobs, and you get the point. That's added in V12 and working pretty flawlessly in terms of a technical standpoint. And we should all have had a bit of a try with it now. So, yeah. That was silence. I did not expect that. I expected spending 30 minutes on this topic alone. Is everybody that happy with the system? Okay, Blocks, you'll just have to type, mate. Big, you go ahead. It's first.
I wanted to add some emphasis on what you just said. I think bandages, especially with the new revive mechanics where you can revive if you're not a medic with your bandage, I think that, you know, having... I'm just providing feedback. I'm wondering if something you guys are thinking about is what you said, Nordic, is whether or not bandages refresh and respawn.
I am pretty sure they are refreshed and respawn. Fuss, do you remember?
Yeah, right now.
Yeah, they are for sure.
Yeah, right now they are two. You get both your bandages back. Medics get 3 bandages back. So, yeah, and certainly we can consider lowering that amount. We just wanted to be cautious with that because we're aware that, you know, if you get shot, you do bleed. So running around bleeding sucks. So, but well, you could certainly consider lowering. I don't think we'll ever have it no bandages at respawn, but we might consider dropping it to 1 if we find that works better.
Cool. And quickly adding on that, were you guys thinking about adding a feature where, like, whenever you die, you get 1 mag in your gun at, like, always?
Yeah, that's, sorry, say that again.
I was going to say, like, whenever you die, because if, like, let's say you're out in the field, you run out of all ammo, you respawn in, you don't have an ammo crate, or you have no ammo on the fob, will you spawn with one mag in your gun already, or will you just be able to...
Three mags currently. You always, no matter what, spawn with three full mags. So if you die with two mags, you will spawn with three mags. If you die with three mags and a half, you will spawn with three mags full and a half. You always, no matter, will have three mags in your main gun. That does not account for special rifles or UGLs or RPGs or whatever, but your main rifle will always have three mags minimum.
Yeah, I think it's like maybe two box mags for the LMGs they'll always get. And everybody who gets a pistol gets one pistol mag. If they wasted all their pistol mags, they'll still come back with one. So yeah, you'll get a minimal amount of ammo when you spawn in. So you'll never spawn in with nothing. But yeah, you won't have grenades or smokes or anything like that. And no, none of the stuff that's useful in the raids and attacks and such.
Blocks, so answering, did you consider ad hab as a resupply point so you don't have to check for ammo box? I think we've more been into that you automatically resupply if you spawn, but that's not going to... Like, if there's ammo on the fob and you resupply on the fob, you will automatically... Or sorry, if you spawn on a fob that has supplies, you will automatically resupply. But that won't make it into V12 purely because there's just no time. So right now, you'll have to run for an ammo crate. I'm pretty sure you decided for us that in the future, if you respawn on a fob, you'll be automatically resupplied.
Yes, yeah, that's something we'd like to add. We think it's going to be all right. We're actually adding in a little... because I know some of the spawning UI is a little confusing. So we've added like a little confirmation box, and that kind of gives you some more information depending on where you have selected, if you're going to need to resupply your ammo or not. So because for new players especially. So for H12, it's just going to be basically you spawn at a fob and you find your ammo crate and you rearm ammo crate or vehicle or ammo bag or whatever. In the future, it could possibly be immediately refreshed when you spawn in.
Steve?
I was just going to go back to baddage count. Mm-hmm. I would never lower it, and I'd probably consider raising it, because just the amount of times that you trade, and like you'll just get tagged once and then kill the person and then won't have to bandage and then move on, and then add in the fact that we're all reviving people at the same time, like... if you lowered it or possibly didn't raise it, I could see everything getting bogged down to really slow levels where you just have to keep resupplying just to get a bandage back.
Yep. Feedback noted. And that's why it's at the current level. And it's at... Medics do get 8 bandages now instead of 6, so they have to bump in their maximum amount that they carry.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I sort of had the same. I was more afraid that people don't want to revive their teammates because they want to keep their bandage for their combat sort of thing. Tilo?
Yeah, can scrap my question. That's pretty much answered.
It was the same. Moving on to Tartan. Who cannot speak because we can't hear you.
Yeah, your mic's silent.
While you fix that, move on to you, Shini.
The other day somebody tried to resupply, I believe, off an ammo bag, and they needed something like 130 ammo. The ammo bag had a little bit less and they weren't able to resupply. And ammo granularity is being added in, correct, for Alpha 12 already?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry?
Well, yes, we do want to add that in. I don't know if we're going to get... that is something that's definitely planned, whether it's going to have time for Alpha 12 release or not, I'm not sure. The granularity, like, we should have been more specific on that. We did request to get full granularity, but whether we'll have time to get it in or not is a question. The granularity that is definitely in 100% is that, yes, each item has a cost. So that is in. So each mag costs 2 ammo points, et cetera, et cetera. But whether, we need to make sure that when you rearm and you have, like, if the ammo bag is down to 30 ammo points or 10 or whatever, it's going to be harder to rearm of that. So, yeah, like partial rearms is what you're asking for. And yes, it's on, yeah, it's on the list of things to do. Whether it's in time for A12, not sure, but it's definitely going to be added in a patch. Because we, yeah, it's something we definitely need for that system to be fully fleshed out.
Copy on that. I assume for it to be working properly that you'll have to add some kind of prioritization internally so that it automatically tries to prioritize rifle mags first and then maybe grenades, then smokes, or maybe bandages first before grenades and smokes.
Yeah, it's going to need some kind of logic system. I mean,
yeah.
Ideally, if we ever get like a full inventory system working, it would be cool to be able to, you know, either have a little list of like the prioritization or whatever. But yeah, for if we get it in initially, it'll probably just be our own logic of like perhaps bandages first, like you said, and then mags, like you said, etc. So it'll just be like I can't promise it's going to be in because it's something on the list, but you know, there's a lot of other issues to deal with. It's certainly something that we want in, and it might just be something that you're going to have to deal with initially, like you know, like crap, I can't rearm. You know, you're gonna have to be conscious of how much, and that's why we did have added the ammo cost number. So in your inventory sidebar, you can see exactly how much cost you need, or how much ammo points you need to rearm. So you're more cognizant of where you can rearm and how much you need.
Copy.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Go ahead.
It was just a clarification on that spawning on hab thing. If you can, when you get that implemented in the future, that would then be dependent on whether or not there were supplies available on that hab, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, certainly. If there's a hab with no ammo, you don't get ammo.
Yeah, exactly.
And these two topics kind of tie in together because obviously, yeah, if you do spawn in at a hab with partial, you can only partially rearm, then how does the logic work there? Yeah.
All right, if that's it on persistent ammo, we'll move on to spawn changes.
Oh, can I sneak one in?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Go ahead.
With that hab respawning thing, are you going to make it so that it's possible to not resupply as you spawn in? I'm just thinking of situations where, like, a fob, you know the fob's not going to be resupplied for a while because they're camping your supply routes or something, so you're just having everyone respawn with basic kit and trying to save like 200 ammo for AT shots or something.
Yeah, and that's the advantage of the current implementation, which is basically a simpler implementation, is that you get to decide whether you want to, you know, the players get to decide whether they want to, you know, waste those ammo points or just go rearm from somewhere else, right? You know, there's an ammo bag somewhere you can grab the ammo off of. So yeah, in the future, if we do implement an automated system, that would be one of the things we'd have to keep in mind when implementing it. But yep, it's a good point, Steez. But yeah, current system doesn't have that consideration in mind.
All right. And let's move on to our dear spawn changes. So there's a little bit of confusion here that we need to clear up first and all, even though I believe I posted it. But in the V12 test, both habs and rallies had wave spawning, habs of 30 seconds and rallies of 60. Habs are not supposed to have wave spawning. It was just the fact that when reworking the spawn mechanics, it got buggy, so they had instant respawn for everyone. And to be able to have a test and to get around that, we added the wave mechanic on the hab. But habs are not going to be changed anyway in spawning or times from V11 in terms of spawning. There will be an individual timer of 40 seconds for every soldier with the penalties possible and all that. But the coming changes to the hab is that two people within 30 meters of the hab to enemy soldiers within 30 meters of the enemy hab will disable it, so they won't be able to spawn it. That's the change that's coming to the hab. With that has the overrun timer on the fob, where previously when you got within 30 meters, each soldier would increase the spawn time by 10 seconds. That has been removed. So the only way to stop spawning now from the hab is to get within the hab distance. The radio is useless in that sense, that getting close to it doesn't do anything. Of course, you could take it down, but other than that, it doesn't do anything. And then we have wave spawns and rally points, which are, I'm not sure if they were in the test, but they are intended now at least to be 60 seconds. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tom. Yeah, that's what it sends. It's an infinite number of waves until you replace it. And then you have, then each soldiers will spawn together in waves. And there were talks previously about the new removal mechanics of the rally, that 52 people got within 50 meters. That will not happen for V12. The rallies will remain the same for in terms of placing and removing as in V11. It needs one to place it, unless you have crewmen or non-SL kit, which in green needs four with the SL. And removing them is when you go within 10 meters. One enemy soldier goes within 10 meters. That should be it.
Small correction with that. It's 30. It's going to be 30 meters for the rally point. Same as the hat.
Okay. That's going in. So one soldier removing it within 30 meters.
Correct. And then okay. One soldier, two soldiers within 30 meters of the hab, disables yeah. them.
Okay. Oni?
I heard some things from people in my community that had played the 12 test about radios no longer having a ticket cost if they're dug down. Is that correct?
Yeah, in the test, there was no ticket cost, but in the next play test, there's going to be a 10 ticket cost, so that's a lowering of 10 tickets. So it's going to be 10 tickets instead of 20.
I wonder about the motivation for that, because when people were talking about there being no ticket cost, I figured it was probably a bug, but that made me think about, well, if there's no ticket cost or if it's not severe enough, then what's to stop you just spamming radios and habs all over and giving yourself a tactical advantage by having spawns all over the place, or spending the time and effort to dump a fob out in the boonies just for people to resupply off of for really sneaky ambushes to enable people to basically, well, for lack of a better word, base rape, or at least get close to it. If the ticket cost is reduced for radios, I'm a bit concerned about that, and I wonder what your motivation was to reduce the ticket cost.
Yeah, so we do eventually want to change the way fobs work. We weren't able to get all the changes in for A12. So we're kind of moving towards that.
Mark, on your hot micing.
So we're trying, we are going to move towards that system, but not fully implemented yet. And yeah, if we see that 10 tickets is not enough, we might very well go back to the 20 tickets, but we do want to encourage people building more, more fobs, not just the one fob. We also kind of put a soft cap on the supplies rather than the small cap. So it's going to be we're going to try with the 20,000 ammo points, 20,000 construction points per hab. So you're not as restricted anymore about how much you can store at a hab or at a fob. So this is going to kind of change a little bit the way people are treating these things. And yeah, it's not a hard set limit that 10 tickets is there. But yeah, we eventually want to change the system a little bit. And I would like to see definitely a limit to the amount of fobs on the map once we've changed the way they get deployed. But that's not in for A12, so that'll be post A12.
Copy, thank you.
Just gonna take your Cliff and Paul's here. Is rally timer going to be at to be global or when you drop it? The rally timer starts, the wave timer starts when you drop it. So when you refresh it, it does not continue where it was the last time. It restarts at 60 seconds. Just a quick answer and I'll remove that. And then you go ahead, Steezy.
With the fob overrun mechanics, obviously need to play it to test it and whatnot and reserve judgment on it. But I think a lot of people share the idea that it's a little bit too far. And I was wondering if you'd consider, if it does turn out where FOBs are just getting disabled left, right and centre by two guys lying in the grass, doing a system similar to the way the caps work, where you need to have, you know, number of enemy plus three or something to disable it.
Yeah, certainly. We actually, we're going to be working on the FOB overrun this next week, getting it. There's some bugs that have to be sorted with it. Yeah, we do want a little more robust system with it, but this was kind of like just making sure it's working at the moment. But definitely a more robust system like the flag cap thing would be a possibility. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Yep.
Sorry, trying to multitask. I don't know what you said to on Tartan, so I'll just give it to you now.
Yeah, it was just in response to the HAB lowering tickets and also what Fuss said about hard cap on HABs in the future. I think that like the best way to go about it is just to make the logistical cost of placing a lot of FOBs so high that it doesn't happen, so you don't have to have a hard cap on HABs. Because it takes manpower and it takes resources and it takes time to go around and set up all the FOBs, so that in itself already limits how many FOBs you can place, even if they have are worth no tickets or if they're worth 20 or 10 tickets. The associated cost of building them and maintaining them would restrict them either way, so I don't think that would be a problem.
Yep, and that's why we don't have a limit right now. We're going to see how it all kind of shakes out.
Blocks. Will vehicle have the same effect as soldiers if you rush a HAB and knife for your two crewmen? No. Soldiers inside a vehicle will not block the HAB. You need to have soldiers outside or alive or whatever the fuck you want to call them. So sitting inside a vehicle is not going to have that effect. Oni?
Simple reminder question about the current exclusion radius between FOBs and the build radius. What were those two again? In ALF 12.
300 meters, is the how near you can place radius to each other, and build radius is 150.
Copy.
Right, Tom?
Correct.
Cool. Calvin, you want to respond to something?
Only a quick one. In vehicles, obviously, we've all got weapons. Would it be the chance to fire out of the vehicles from the transport or anything like that?
Yeah, we'd love to see that. I'd love to see that personally. This is kind of, it's probably a lower priority thing, but definitely we'd like to see that at some point, seeing being able to, we can look around right now in the back of the trucks, for example, but yeah, being able to shoot your weapon would be quite cool. But
I'd love that, but yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, as far as timeline for that, we don't really have a timeline for it yet.
I'll just remute Nurkon since he still can't behave. Nurkon, you'll have to tag me if you want to speak. Extreme, go ahead.
All right. With the changes to the HAB, what did you think? Why did you come up with 30 meters to disable the HAB? Because Samara is a really small map, for example. You can be a compound of me and just disable it with two people. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Is this going to change on map based or not?
Sorry, I was had my headphones off. You're talking about the HAB overrun and and the different size maps and whether it scales to map size?
Yes, exactly.
We don't have that in, and not saying it will never come in, but we are kind of starting to really shift our focus to the 4K maps.
So, yeah, it makes sense. It definitely does, but for For example, if you play a scrimmage with 18 for 18 on a small map, as example for Sumari, it is 30 meters quite short, to be honest. If you like have a two-man flanking party, you can easily disable HAP from like half a compound away. Like, it doesn't make any sense, to be honest.
Yep, and I think those smaller maps will best be played with lower populations of players. And it's kind of one of those things that is we might have a game mode specifically where, you know, you can shorten those amounts for those maps. But we are gearing most of the game modes for the larger maps and those smaller maps where there's the extreme close in fighting as we eventually scale up the players to 100 players. It's not the
yeah, it makes sense. Those effectively make sense for click maps, but for the smaller maps, you should consider like changing that all.
Yep. Feedback noted, and also for things like those, like 18v18 scrimmage, we are really hoping, when the modding gets in, our potential for those modded settings to be perfect for that kind of thing. So whether we add that as an official kind of mode, where all right, this is like the standard that the community has agreed on, and the 18v18 is ideal with these set values for the overruns. Could consider adopting that as a separate mode and running it on those modded maps as and adopting it officially. It's still too early to consider all that stuff, but yeah, definitely note it about the small maps not being ideal with new overrun distances.
Tilo?
Yeah, this is Tufaset. You might remember a few months ago we talked about the spawn timer, the wave timer on the ready points, and whether to make it public or not, like making the timer when you drop the rally, whether making it public or not. Your thoughts on that? I think you last said that it's better to not make it public, but then on the other hand, like people like me and probably Nordic as well are definitely going to have either an app or a tool on the computer, just hit F9 or something, and the timer will start, and I'll have that information when the next wave will spawn. And so might as well make it public for all players. So any new ideas on that?
And what you're saying by public is basically
making it visible.
Whether you're alive or dead, you still have a visible timer on your rally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On your life.
Yeah, it is a good point. At this time, we're going to keep it hidden, but and kind of see how it goes. I would like a better display, anyways, just visually. Beyond that, and then being able to shift it on and off, and seeing how that plays out would be a good idea. But I think, based on the way the overrun works, we're going to see less emphasis on the exact timings of such, because it's going to be less predictable whether if you have your rally point that's very close, whether it's going to be stable or not. So I think the timings for rally point drops probably won't play as large of a factor into the capturing as your revives would. Idea anyways. In practice, we've got to see, right? Because there's a lot of different changes coming in with the suppression, the ammo, the spawning, and everything else. So we'll need to make adjustments. But certainly, I know what you're saying, because it just like the mortar calculator, if you hide the information from the players, they will find another way to see that, and only the best players will use that other way, and the public players will just be kind of like
blocked out.
That's a good point. And sorry, no update on that yet, other than at this time for the playtest, we're going to choose to hide that for now for alive players, but definitely when you're incapped or are dead, you'll be able to see it right away.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Extreme?
Take it away. Sorry, you just answered it.
Yeah, Oni, I don't know if you want to start with a 1 or a 0 or a 2. But
I'll start with a 2 because I want to understand what your motivation is to hide that information from the player.
Well, it's what he said, basically. If you can time your rally point, there's like a large emphasis on kind of the numbers, you know what I mean, the number game, and we're just trying to try to get away from that a little bit, like the 9 lives of the rally point, etc., and more emphasis on staying within proximity of your squad, reviving your squad, and that kind of thing. The timer being displayed is not as critical as simply the change the change of attitude when it comes to where to place rally points, right? People are still going to be placing them like they did in A11. So it's going to take some time to kind of resort the way they are deployed, because they're not going to be deployed directly on positions, because that will be pretty useless. Though that information being hidden is just kind of like an initial test, and then if we choose to display that at all times, basically we're hoping to get it on the actual UI, the map, the countdown timer. So it should just be relatively easy to have an option to display that if that's what we choose to do. But that hasn't been fully implemented yet. So until we actually implement it on the map, it's not going to be an option to do that. So currently it's work in progress, as probably be worked on Monday and Tuesday.
Copy.
Go ahead and take your 1 as well.
A different question. We, in our community, we were talking a bit about how with the wave spawn, people have already been making little misclicks on the map, click off the rally, then click on it. Oops, and now I have to wait 2 minutes for the spawn. Is there any chance that instead of having the wave spawn be right there on the dot, there could be a 5-second window or something like that? This could also help mitigate issues with camping rallies. If you see a rally and you're an AR dude, you can just lie down, and if you wait for the next wave, that's it, you got 9 kills if they all spawn.
In terms of the click thing, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I needed to cough. The problem, first of all, is a bug. It's a UA bug. Copy. You should be able to select a spawn, wait for the spawn, and click on the other parts of the map. Especially as a squad leader, that's infuriating. So that part is purely a bug. The other one, I'll let Fasid explain.
Yeah, the UI definitely needs a little bit of polishing there with the wave spawning. That's what I was just explaining about displaying on the map. You're suggesting a kind of grace period of 5 seconds, whether you can spawn in on it or not, even if you miss the timer.
Yeah, that's what he's suggesting. I don't know if you went AFK.
What I was suggesting is that if you currently, when the timer runs down, right there on that dot, everybody spawns. What I'm suggesting is that you have, when the timer runs out on the spawn wave, that you have the next 120-second countdown, the first 5 seconds of that you can spawn within that window of time. So you have 5 seconds to spawn after it's possible to spawn, instead of it being just an instant thing. That way you could have one or two guys spawn, and if they get shot at, they can be like, okay, the rally's hot, instead of now 5 or 6 people have spawned on the rally and they're all dead.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So basically 5-second grace period. It's a decent idea. I don't think we're going to implement that initially, but something we can consider. I'm thinking strongly that with the meta that will change, it's going to be rally points are going to be deployed a little more non-sensic, like more sensically, not non-sensically, and you're going to see them sensically. Less exposed. Sensically, non, like they will not be deployed non-sensically. They're going to be deployed somewhere with a little more protection. And you're going to see with the increased overrun that enemies are just not going to spot them. And they're just going to get removed. So, but I mean, could be totally wrong here. You know, rallies could be camped everywhere. In the version right now, it's they still are the lower range for the overrun. So,
I mean, I already had plenty of games because usually I'm playing intel anyway, so I'm flanking around, and I've played plenty of games where I know where a rally is just by looking at how the enemies are moving, and I see where they're coming from, and I know what corridor I can lock down even without being in proximity to the rally or having seen it visually. So that's kind of what I was worrying about, that you could just lie down, go prone, kick up your bipod, and just pick them off as they're crossing where you just saw three or four guys come from. So,
yep. Definitely, it's a possibility, and like you said, the actual spawning of the guys, we definitely want to avoid them spawning into their deaths immediately. So with these changes, we're trying to reduce that a little bit. And I understand what you're saying. With somebody could just cover a rally point and hose them all down. I think it's going to be kind of like I said, like for the older players who've been playing for a very long time, they're going to have to reconsider how they use the rally points and emphasizing more strongly on the revives than using the rally point as the, you know, the number one way that they bring people back into the fight. So it's going to be a change of pace with regards to that. But yeah, it's a good idea about what you suggested, 5-second grace period, although I don't know if that's entirely going to help you if the guy has a complete lockdown. Whether you spawn a second or two after the other guy, you might still all get killed by the same dude.
Blitz. Yeah, it's just piggybacking off what Fuzz and Ernie have just talked about there with the wiping on the respawns for a rally. Has there been any discussion about changing the model of the rally point or the static or removing it so that someone can't come across the rally, lie down and wait for the spawns?
Yeah, I think that's a really old asset that they had, and we don't have plans to change it right now. But as I was saying, with the 30-meter radius, you won't actually see it like up close. You know what I mean? You'll have to have spotted it in the distance and consciously not gotten too close to it in order to actually camp it. So the spotting of it is actually going to be a little harder now because you can't just happenstance across it and then wait for the guys to spawn in. You'll likely be walking and remove it prior to even seeing it.
Is that not restricted to maps with variations in terrain? You know, a lot of times you can spot rallies from 100 plus meters away, certainly with scopes and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's probably not a good place for a rally point. Just like you can spot a hab in the open field, it's probably not a good place for a hab. So I guess it's a little bit of common sense applied, and also a change of attitude with regards to how the rally points are used. But yeah, all that feedback is noted, and if we see it's a major issue, we can consider changing it.
Arctic Fox?
Yeah, just a caveat on what Oni said. How do they spawn on the rally? Like, will they all be grouped together, or will they be like spread out in like say a 5-10 meter radius? Because I feel like if it was like that kind of like system, that would prevent, you know, everybody getting wiped from one machine gun. So how exactly would they all be on top of each other? Is my question.
No, same way that if you slapped on a rally and 8 people or 7 people spawn on it, the same way it goes today. They're spread out in a small around it.
Okay.
And that is editable. But the problem is it's only editable to a certain extent, because if you put a rally point in a house, you know, you don't want people spawning into the getting glitched all over the place. but it's a valid point. Good feedback is potentially expanding the range of where they are spawned in. The whole point of these changes, though, like I said, is to kind of reduce the amount of times this will actually happen. But if we see it's happening quite a bit, then we'll have to change it.
Okay, thank you.
Steve?
I noticed during the playtest that you can destroy HABs with HE from vehicles now. Is that intentional?
Yes.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Come back to us when you...
that's interesting. I kind of like it and I kind of don't. It's,
I think Tank is two shots to remove it completely, right?
We had a Bradley and we absolutely rip on apart. No time at all.
I would have thought HE would do more damage to a HAB than the AP.
Yeah, that's
no, it was
HE.
Yeah.
HE does the more damage, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's good, in my opinion.
And if anyone else doesn't have anything on spawn changes, I'll just go quickly through vehicle components and repair. And then we're coming up on the hour, gentlemen. 10 seconds, then we're closing spawning. Excellent. All right, vehicle components and repair clarification. Just because everyone didn't get to play it, we've been talking about components here and there, but it's pretty much finally finalized. So, two components that are in. Every vehicle has an engine, and some vehicles have an ammo depot. Hitting the ammo depot either does one out of two things. Either it depletes the ammo of vehicles that are designed to have protection for that, so they don't blow up. An example of that is Russian BTRs. Actually, they can cook, I'm not sure. Can they, Fuss? Do you remember?
What's that?
BTRs, can they cook off?
Yeah, we've had an internal debate on that based on some feedback from military advisors. Currently, I don't think so. Actually, yes, currently they can, but we might be changing the way they, if the cook-off just kills their ammunition store rather than completely destroys the vehicle.
And engines obviously does what you think they do, to slow down the vehicles to a very, very slow crawl. They can move, but they can't move fast. Crewmen have repair tools that they can repair them with. Easier vehicles, or lighter vehicles, I should say, such as techies, trucks, MRAPs, takes damage from small arms. I believe MRAPs are protected from 5.56 and 5.45, but 7.62 will kill them. And techies and the smaller ones, if you hit them in the engine with enough small arm bullets, they will also, their engines will also break down. And then the repairmen can repair them so they go faster than the crawl, but not to the to get them to the top speed or the regular walking state, you need a repair station. They are located on the realistic side of the realistic parts of the vehicle. So, for example, a Striker is front right, easy to find. If you look at the exhaustion of a vehicle, that's going to be an engine. Ammos are always also located at the correct place, so to speak. I believe there will be pictures and explanations in the recap where you can find them. And I am hoping we can have some sort of a debug system in the firing range. When we were debugging them, we had, so if we went into the vehicle with admin cam, we could see a red box for the ammo storage and a green box for the engine. I am hoping that somehow we can enable that in a firing range so you can actually practice and try it there as well. I'm not promising anything, but it will definitely be detailed in the actual release post when that happens. But yeah, anything on vehicle components and that sort of thing?
Obviously, combustion, does it just blow up? You know, I said you'd damage the ammo, but will it just blow up randomly? say random explosion on the vehicle. If you hit the box.
What do you mean? Elaborate. Do you mean if it's just randomly if you hit it, or no?
You hit the hammer compartment, which will cause an explosion in the internal combustion. So is that going to blow the vehicle up, or is it just going to damage the ammo?
It blows the vehicle up in most cases. I don't know if the BTR will do it. It does currently, but I believe, and by design, the BTR will not blow up because it has a protection for that sort of thing. So it actually just depletes the ammo. But I'm not sure what we will have there. But at the current state, it blows the vehicle off. It cooks off.
Yeah, basically the engine component and the ammo storage component have separate health points to the actual hull of the vehicle. So when you hit the ammo compartment, you have to get the HP of that to zero. Once that happens, it'll start like showing like all these sparks and stuff cooking off, and the I believe the health of the vehicle. I'm not sure if it quite does this yet, but you'll see the hull of the vehicle rapidly going down. But at least right now, the visual is there. The sounds of the visual is there. You hear all these sparks and stuff flying out of the vehicle, so you know the thing's about to blow up. So that gives the crew inside the vehicle time to get out of there before the whole thing goes up. Like I said, in the future, some of these vehicles might just, instead of destroying the hull, it'll do some damage to the hull, like completely destroying the whole vehicle. It might just do some damage to the hull, but then remove the ammo store from the vehicle. So it's basically you're down to no ammo. So you have to go back and repair that ammo compartment and restock your ammo before you can be effective again. So just kind of depends on the different vehicles. But 100% the T-72 definitely be destroyed completely if you hit the ammo store.
So just to add to that, obviously, are we doing track damage? Because if we need to disable a tank coming in, can we just frag the tracks so it'll disable the tank?
No. Yeah, that is a high priority for the next release. We won't get in here, but yeah, definitely high priority will be the turrets and tracks.
Lovely, looking forward to that one, man. Thank you very much.
Yep.
That was your one, right, Harris?
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. Blocks, since tanks are here now, will we see the... will regular factions get mines? So Russia, US, and Brits, will they get mines?
I think currently we're not going to be giving mines to the regular factions. I mean, it's something kind of unique to keep with our irregular factions, and at this time we're not going to do that. Might revisit it later, but for now, no conventional factions will get mines.
Yes, Extreme.
I just want to punch in on what Fuzzhead said. He said the ammo and the ammo storage are different health settings, meaning that if you actually hit it, it is not RNG like we used that in the last recap. You have a slight chance to blow up the ammo compartment, for example. And that was just like, if you are like a decent shot, you can actually get it done or not. Or is it still like a lucky shot, for example?
No, if you hit the ammo compartment, you hit the ammo compartment. There's no RNG. If you put the rocket there, it will blow it up.
Yeah. And the it's also based on, there is a little bit of it's not just cut and dry. Like if you, it all depends on the angle that you're firing on, the angle of the armor that you're hitting, because like
penetration distance is what you're talking about, right?
Yes, penetration distance, exactly. So if you're hitting it like on a 45 degree angle, it's different than hitting at a 90, etc. So yeah, you just there's a lot of factors going into the actual penetration of it, but if it does penetrate past the armor, it's all about the hit points of that armor component. Yeah, there's no 1 in 20 chance to destroy it.
Cool. Oni?
About anti-tank mines, do they still one hit kill everything except for actual tanks and IFVs? Because I'd imagine that would make the most sense, that BTR strikers and anything below that just gets insta blown up, and that tanks and IFVs get a mobility hit once tracking vehicles is in and the disabled engines, so that you have to get out and repair them and to get out. That seems logically to make the most sense, but I wonder what you guys think.
We haven't fully gone through each vehicle with the new damage to ensure all the logic of the mines is in. I believe the MRAP will probably be slightly different because it's specifically designed to keep the crew alive inside of it when it gets hit. But basically the larger vehicles set on fire and just almost dead. And the smaller, lighter vehicles would be instantly destroyed.
Copy. Oh, could you clarify on that? Because, like I said, will actual tanks and IFVs, Bradleys, Warriors, etc., will they then get a mobility kill once tracking vehicles is in? So you
have
to drop out and repair them?
Yeah. And going forward, absolutely, it's going to be a lot better for mines and whatnot. For A12, we do not have tracks or turret component yet, so the mines are just going to do similar to A11.
Okay.
And Harris.
Hey, extra question.
Oh, okay, shoot. Sorry.
It's a different topic.
Really simple
question. In tanks that have sub-O rounds, they also have heat rounds, some of them. What's the purpose of the heat rounds in those tanks? What targets are those intended for? Because if you have sub-O, they're going to be your preferred target against armor. So what is heat for?
Yeah, I believe heat will do slightly more damage to a light vehicle.
Light vehicle or light infantry. Armor.
Yeah, and definitely, obviously, to the infantry, it's more effective. So,
HE rounds be more effective against infantry than the heat, though?
Okay, so we actually don't have, like, a specific HE round. As most, there's a lot of different types of tank rounds, but we just kind of went with the basics, which are heat, which is heavy, or high explosive anti-tank. Which is mostly it's a bunch of different ways why that kills people inside tanks with the pressure change and the molten stream and all this stuff. But basically, that's going to be, if you don't want to waste your sabo rounds on lighter vehicles, you're going to use your heat round, and that will also be what you'll use against infantry. T-72 so we only have the two tanks modeled right now, so I can just talk about those two. T-72 has those 10 frag rounds, or 9 frag rounds, I think.
Exactly. Those are the ones I was mostly wondering about.
Oh, okay, the frag rounds, the fragmentation rounds. Yeah, so that will be most effective against the infantry.
Right. Exactly.
And then you've got your heat rounds, Blue 4 up for similar heat rounds, but T-72 mixes it up because they have the two ATGM rounds. So they run kind of like, both of them run with an equal amount of sabo rounds, pretty much, but the T-72 has just this extra varied ammunition. Blue 4 generally don't have a fragmentation round that they use often.
Copy. Thanks.
Harris.
Thank you. So basically, on about the tanks again, we have the, obviously, vehicles rolling across. I've got AP mines and we've got obviously AT mines. So even if they don't destroy the vehicle, will they still detrack the vehicle to disable it?
You're talking about in the future potential?
Yes. In the future. So basically, if you've got AP mines on, obviously they'll do much damage to a tank anyway. But if we've got some AT mines, which are not going to be so much powerful to destroy the tank, but to disable the tank and detrack it, so it's disabled and it's sitting duck, Is that the position we're going to go for?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not going to be an insta kill. Well, probably like I imagine 20% HP, and the track component will be completely destroyed. So you will be very vulnerable, but you won't be instantly destroyed with those mines.
That sounds brilliant, because like I said, obviously in the war, the tracking was the main thing, and then flanking and smashing them from the back or the side would be brilliant. So, anyway, thank you very much.
Cool. And with that, we're 10 minutes over the hour. So with that, we'll end for tonight.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. So, it was a little bit late this time. Next one will probably be the first Saturday of November. You can write down the 3rd of November, pretty much. And, yeah, thank you, everyone, for coming. Always a pleasure. And
thank you, guys.
Have a nice day, morning, evening, wherever you are in the world. And good night.
Cheers, Nordic.
Cheers, man.
Well, happy to say goodbye.
We're